What's so funny back there? You want to share with the group? All right, so it's a family service. And this is a good turnout for a long weekend. Do we have kids? Okay, we've got Will. Who else is here? We have someone there. Yes, Ortiz's. Sophie, I'm counting on you. Okay, cool. Well, welcome everyone. I'm glad you're here. My name's Steph. I am the youth pastor here at Central. I work with the youth. We had an awesome youth hangout planned by the summer students, many of whom are here. Abigail's in the back, in the nursery. We had an amazing, amazing time on Thursday. Yeah, it was so fun. We celebrated a birthday in our group, and it was just so beautiful. The summer students took so much leadership and the older youth, and they took care of everybody, and they made sure everybody was having fun, and we communicated, and it just like was the most smooth youth event I've ever put on. It was amazing. And I see a bunch of my youth here today, and that's so cool. So in elementary classes in the back, usually in downstairs, in the grade five to eight class that I normally teach, we watch the So-and-So Show. And we love it. It is awesome. They teach us Bible stories. They're silly. And they have a lot of fun. So, because this is a family service, we're going to play a game. So, Ted, can you put up weed or plant? Sometimes we sprout weeds or not so great stuff in our own lives, and we struggle to grow and produce the good fruits that God has for us. And sometimes something can look like a plant, but it's actually a weed. And sometimes we need to pull those weeds out right by the root and get rid of it. So we're going to play a game and see if you can identify some weeds. All right. Weed or plant? I should have had a theme song. All right. Let's go to the first slide. Ted? Okay. What do you think? Weed or plant? Plants over here. I heard a weed over here. All right, let's see who's right. Next slide. Plant! Cranberry hibiscus. Okay, 1 point over here. All right, next. Oh, I thought you said plant? Oh, sorry. All right, next one. You keep track, Sophia. Weed or plant? Plant? Plant, Darren? Yeah? Anyone weed? No? Oh. Maybe back there. All right, let's see. Plant! Isn't it a hosta? Yeah. The summer students put the Latin name because they're fancy. Show-offs. Okay, next. Good job, plant people. So 2 points. 2 points. Weed or plant? Any plants? All right, all right. Go ahead, Ted. Weed! You're right. But I have a succulent that looks like that. And it's not a weed. Purslane. All right, next. Weed or plant? Oh, I feel like it's mixed. Are there plant people? Okay. You guys are going plant for all of them? All right. Strategy. All right, let's see. It is a plant. It's a curly dock. I don't know. Weed or plant? Ooh, tricky one, eh? Adults over here. Grown skills? What do you think? Madeline? No, you're not sure? I'm not sure either. What is it, Ted? Weed! Lamb's quarters. All right, what are you guys at over there? Five for five? Sure, after. Why not? All right, weed or plant? I feel like it's everybody thinks weed. All right, let's see. I think this is the last one. Weed, yes. Torlis. Six? You guys are good. You know your plants. I didn't know. All right, is that the end, Ted? Or is there one more? Wow, cool. You all win. Yay. All right. Okay. So now we can identify weeds and plants. That's good. But on the so-and-so show, they usually bring up someone who knows stuff. And so I'm bringing up our very own expert gardener, Dawn, to help us know. Yay, Dawn! She's someone who knows stuff. Okay, so maybe not expert. You laughed at me, but like, I'm glad. Tell us your experience. Yes, come in the square.
I asked you because I'm not the gardener in the family.
Oh, well, you've told me things about plants, so I figured you could help me with this question. It's easy.
I do the indoor plants. He does the outdoor plants.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah.
I didn't get all of the weeds right.
That's actually the same in my marriage. But okay, this is an easy question. What do plants need to survive?
They need three or four things.
Okay, let's see if I have them.
The first thing we need is water. When we have a dry spell, we have to water with a hose if you're doing outside plants. If you're doing inside plants, you still need water.
Mm-hmm.
If it's raining a lot, you don't need the water.
Mm-hmm. Don't overwater. I've made that mistake.
God provides it. And they need soil. If you try and grow something without the soil, what ends up happening is they fall over and they don't do very well when they're lying on the ground. They also need sunshine.
Mm-hmm. I don't have that here.
Pretend. You can look up at the windows over here. You got the light. Some plants do better with lesser sunlight, mm-hmm. some with more, but they all need it. None of them grow in darkness.
Mm.
And in my case, when I grow something inside, they need something else. I use blood meal.
Like for fertilizer?
It not only fertilizes it, it keeps the squirrels and the chipmunks out of my bulbs.
Mm. Pests. They need to be protected from pests. Yeah, no, thank you. That was perfect. Someone who knows stuff, everybody. Thank you, Dawn. That's exactly it. And there was a good word Dawn said in there. No plants grow in the darkness. Some need little light, but they all need some light to produce their food and to grow and to produce good fruit the way that the Lord made them. And just like plants, our church or faith community needs special ingredients to be healthy, to grow, and to thrive. You and I are part of an amazing community of faith here at Central. And the scripture passage that God laid on my heart today, Galatians 6:1-10, has kind of been a doozy for me. This word is what the Lord has been teaching me over the past year, pruning me, healing my wounds, gently correcting me, leading me through the muck and mire, and showing me again and again that this is the way, the truth, and the life. No other way forward. And in the message, this passage is called Nothing But the Cross. Eugene Peterson's Message translation just gets me sometimes. I always like seeing how it is translated in the message, and I think it ups our cool factor that he was a Presbyterian minister. I always feel kind of cool because of that. So this passage tells us what the special ingredients are for a healthy faith community, and so I want you to try and listen and see if you can identify them. So I'm going to read the whole passage, Galatians 6:1-10. Live creatively, friends. If someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore him, saving your critical comments for yourself. You might be needing forgiveness before the day's out. Stoop down and reach to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens, and so complete Christ's law. If you think you are too good for that, you are badly deceived. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed by yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. Be very sure now, you who have been trained to a self-sufficient maturity, that you enter into a generous common life with those who have trained you, sharing all the good things that you have and experience. Don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. All he'll have to show for his life is weeds, but the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. Right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith or our church. So, did you catch some of the ingredients? Here's what I think they are. Humble yourself before the Lord. Deal with your own stuff. Don't let your sin fester and grow. Don't be proud. Practice prayer. Study God's word and build good things in your faith community so you can give, serve, and grow. When we notice weeds popping up in our faith community, like gossip, which means talking behind someone's back, and things like selfishness or taking more than we need, bitterness or unforgiveness, envy, being jealous of someone else's life, success, or possessions, fearfulness, complaining, victimhood, thinking, oh, woe is me, my life is unfair, lying or judgment. When we see these weeds pop up in our lives or our faith community, we need to pull them out by the roots. Linda Brown taught me a good way to know if a piece of information is gossip or not. And she said that she thinks, are you willing to say what you want to say in front of a group, in front of your whole office or your classroom? If not, then tell God instead of your neighbor. He can handle it and he will make things right. Listen to that still small voice inside of you, which is God, the Holy Spirit, telling you the next right thing to do in all circumstances. So these weeds, these things that are not of God, these sins, they halt our growth. They are not the right ingredient for a fruitful life. We can't move forward because these things, sin, create a barrier to God, and they smother our good growth. But when we identify these things in our lives and we stop and we pull them out by the roots, it may look like apologizing for a mistake or taking responsibility for it or humbling ourselves in prayer before the Lord. And I want you to know I'm preaching to myself as much as anyone else here today. This isn't a judgment. This is a call to action. A call to strengthen our faith community. Verse 7 to 8 from Galatians 6 says, what a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. All he'll have to show for his life is weeds, but the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. So when those weeds pop up, go back to the basics, air, water, sun. Live in response to God, prayer, study, community, give, serve, and grow. Don't live in response to what others do to you, how they treat you. Respond to Jesus. What is he building? What has he told you to do? What is he growing in you? Verses 1 to 2 says in the message, live creatively, friends. Which I love. If someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore him, saving your critical comments for yourself. You might be needing forgiveness before the day's out. Stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens. And so complete Christ's law. If you think you are too good for that, you are badly deceived. And sometimes we have a desire to grow in our hearts, but we don't want to take the time to grow the deep roots. And we can snap under the weight of it all. It's too heavy. We're not ready yet. We're not walking with the one who carries our load, who makes our burden light. This plant here is mine. It's a Monstera plant. I think I bought it in 2001 with Sophia Robertson, right? Oh, 2021. Sorry. I'm glad she's here. She's keeping me on track. Is that right, Sophia? Did we buy them in 2021? Okay, I was trying to figure it out. But a Monstera plant takes about 3 years to get to its full fruition. And is yours this big? Oh, did it die? Oh, no. Plants are hard, and I do not claim to be a gardener, but I'm learning little by little, and I'm really taken by watching my plants grow. Now that I'm over 30, I think maybe it's just something that happens in you. You just love gardening all of a sudden. I remember being a teenager and be like, why would I spend so much time doing that? That's such a waste of time. But I love it. And I see God's creation in my plants. So I noticed that my Monstera plant, and I hope everyone can see it, was growing these weird offshoots. And I didn't know what they were. And even before I Googled it, and you can see there's three more in the middle supporting the plant, supporting the weight. Because Monstera leaves can grow up to 2 to 3 feet each. So this leaf is maybe almost fully grown, but it could probably grow another foot. And these are some new leaves that are shooting out. But this stalk or branch was getting too heavy, and so I added a support, but then I noticed the plant was making supports for itself. And God created this plant in its beautiful form, and lots of Instagrammers lust after this look of the Swiss cheese plant. And it's beautiful, and God even thought to make it grow these roots called aerial roots, I learned. Orchids have them too, to be able to support itself so it doesn't snap under the weight as it grows. So over the 2 to 3 years when it matures, it also grows these offshoots, which I think is so cool. And it's just so God. verse 9 to 10 says, so let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued from doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. Right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. And in the CSB, the Christian Standard Bible, this passage is called Carry One Another's Burdens. So nothing but the cross and carry one another's burdens. And in the verse I read previously, it said, like, that's the law of God. You will fulfill the law of God when you help the oppressed. And you come alongside your brothers and sisters of faith and those in the community who do not know the Lord yet. So support is the primary purpose of these aerial roots. And some people, they can grow quite vastly. Like there can be a lot of them, and people might think it's not so aesthetic. They might want to cut them off, because it can look a little messy. In the wild, in the rainforest, they grow huge ones, and like tens and tens of them, in order to support the plants as they grow up to, I think, 40 feet. But if you cut off these aerial roots, you will hinder its growth, because it might break, it might snap. Because the Monstera plant is dealing with its own stuff. And another cool thing about it is the holes where it got its name, the Swiss cheese plant, because it looks like Swiss cheese, obviously. Does anyone know why it has the holes? No? I didn't know. Do you know, Sophia? No? Okay. Just checking. It's because as it grows up in the rainforest, as seedlings, it doesn't need much light to grow, because, you know, a rainforest, it's pretty dense and covered, but as it grows up and it grows more offshoots and leaves, in order for those leaves to get sunlight, the leaves that are on top create holes in itself to share the light with its own plants, with its own leaves around it and other plants. So it's not taking too much. It's just taking what it needs. And I'm like, whoa. That's cool. And also, it will use other trees and plants around it to wrap itself around and to support itself. It grows together in harmony with other trees alongside it. And its roots don't kill the tree. It just holds on. And that tree then helps carry the burden that the Monstera plant is facing. And I think that is such a good metaphor for how we need to live and operate here at Central. Just as the Monstera plant grows deep roots and grows in community with the neighboring plants and trees, not harming them, but growing in harmony with them as they are, God asks us to do no harm and to focus on our church community first, sending deep roots where we are planted, working in harmony for the betterment of all, and then to reach out past the church walls and spread God's goodness to those who don't know it yet. So we can survive. We can meet our basic needs. We can go through our days in and out doing the same thing, eat breakfast, go to work, come home, eat dinner, go to sleep, and over and over and over again. And we can get in these routines where we're surviving, but we're not thriving. And the Monstera plant, it doesn't multiply like other plants do. You have to, I guess, house plants, house Monstera plants. If you want to grow another Monstera plant from the mother plant, you have to propagate it. And you're able to do that by finding one of these nubs, and they will, there's a big one right in the front there, right there. And you have to cut off a stem and a leaf and that nub and place it in water, in a glass with water, and in a few months, new roots, new life will grow forth from this little nub here. But you want to be careful not to harm the rest of the plant. And God made something else to heal plant wounds. Does anyone know what it is? It's a spice. I learned this today, or this week. It's cinnamon. So, oops, I do want to propagate this, and I do want to create another Monstera plant. Maybe I'll give it to you, Sophia, to replace the one that died. And I've had some success with ivy, but I was going to try and do this one, and so I was trying to see, and I can see these two leaves are already kind of crossing over each other. This one is trying to get out of the way of the other one, but also using it for support. And so I could cut that off, and there's a little nub there where buds can grow. And then in order to make sure that bacteria doesn't get into your plant and create disease and kill it, you sprinkle some cinnamon on the open wound of the plant. And so God also created something natural that comes from a tree to keep your plant healthy, which is cool. And like I said, in a couple of months, you will notice a clump of roots growing in your water, and you want to change that water. You got to keep it clean every 3 to 4 days so mold doesn't grow and all of that kind of stuff, and give it some sunlight. But like I said, it doesn't need too much sun in order to grow because that's where it was planted. It's dark in the rainforest. But as it gets bigger, it needs more and more sunlight and therefore creates the holes in the leaves. Once you see the clump of roots, you move it to a new home in soil, you want to keep it moist as it establishes its new home. And like those who come to Central and are looking for community, who are hurting, who have wounds that we don't know about, we need to walk with them. And it might take months. It might take sacrifice. But I know, and I tell the youth this a lot, does it say anywhere in the Bible that this life, this calling is easy? It's going to be easy and fun? No. I think we finally got that this year, eh? Yeah. She's probably wrong. What does she know? But I think because I've heard them speaking in a different way, because we've worked a lot on suffering in youth group, and we're going to continue doing that throughout the next semester. Why do people suffer? That's hard. That's hard as a 15-year-old to grasp and understand. I didn't understand it at 15, but I did trust that the Lord was good because I'd seen him working in my life, and I see all the good fruit that has been produced from Central. I've been attending here since I was 13. I met my husband here in the same youth group that I lead today. Good fruit. Like, how could I deny that the Lord is real? He loves me. He's providing for me. He provides the support in Matt, my husband, so that I'm able to do this job. that I'm able to just stand up here and he takes care of things at home and in our business. So, cinnamon heals the wound of the monstera so that the monstera can create new life, produce life while it's still meeting its basic needs and living a healthy life in community with the baby plant. And I think we need to be like cinnamon. We need to be a healing balm for the wounded. For the wounded soul, God has placed on your path. Be there for a friend in need. Help a stranger who is suffering. Walk with a family member through a tough situation. It's not too much. Because God is with you. Sometimes we can help too much. We can look for baby birds who need us, and that gives us a sense of purpose. And that's not living in response to God. That's being a Martha or a Mary. but we want to live in response to God. Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst." He will be there to share the load. So I want to read verses 2-5 one more time before I wrap up. "Carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone considers himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Let each person examine his own work, and then he can take pride in himself alone and not compare himself with someone else. For each person will have to carry his own load." And that's not easy. It's not easy to do everything right and to carry the load that we face. We have busy lives. There's a lot of financial pressure, all kinds of things, health issues that members of our congregation are facing. Some people don't have a home. Some people don't have food. But the Lord says he'll walk with us. We just have to answer his call. We just have to say yes. And just like God created the monstera to carry its own burden while not harming other plants, I remembered something that Christine Kane says. I read it a long time ago in one of her books. And she says, God equips the called. He doesn't call the equipped. Because I think sometimes we can feel like, oh, this situation, like I don't have the skills in order to deal with it. I don't have what I need in order to help this person. But sometimes it's just a kind word. Sometimes it's just asking someone how they are. Sometimes it's just not saying that thing that you want to tell someone because it's not a nice thing to say. And I remember reading that in a book, God Equips the Called. So we don't have to worry. He's going to equip us if he calls us. He doesn't call the equipped. So we don't have to know everything. And I actually read this when I was living in Lesotho. It was my, I think I'd been living there 10 days when I was 25, volunteering as an intern at Help Lesotho and visiting Rachel's Home, our international charity here at Central. Where we help HIV/AIDS orphans go to school, and get educated, and supply for their basic needs. And so 10 days, I was on my own, and all of a sudden there's an attempted coup. I don't know if some of you remember. There was an attempted coup in the capital city of Lesotho, and Lesotho's pretty small. I was about living an hour away in a town called Klotze. That's pretty rural, but still pretty close. So the organization was like, oh, we must evacuate. And we followed other organizations who were evacuating the expats. And then I found myself alone in a hotel room in Ficksburg, South Africa, for 2 weeks. And that was one of the hardest times of my life because I knew the owner, but that's all. And I was told it was unsafe for me to go out by myself and so on and so forth. And I did go out during the day and all of that. And they didn't give me any work to do. I had nothing to do. And I was just getting depressed thinking, why am I here, Lord? You're not even using me. And then I read these words. Well, I called you and you showed up and that's enough. I'm going to give you what you need to get through this. Eventually the coup didn't, come to fruition, thankfully. There wasn't any more unrest for the rest of my time living in Lesotho. And I was able to go back and to be part of the good work that they were doing there and see the beautiful work that's being done by Hilda at Rachel's home and by Help Lesotho too. So we don't have to have it all together. I'll finish with this. We just have to deal with our stuff and strive for a healthy life following Jesus in order to share the good news with our broader community, nation, and the world. At the end of each episode of the So-and-So Show that we watch, they go, "Reveal the question!" And then this big question banner drops. And so my question for you today is, how can you live in response to God? Today, this week, this school year, this season, I ask that you discuss it over lunch. Journal your thoughts, or most importantly, pray and listen for God's voice to tell you the way forward. Live in response to his word, not in response to what Stephanie wants or what someone else wants, but in response to his word. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Lord, I'm going to take some words from Psalm 143. You let us hear your loving kindness each morning. You keep new mercies upon us, for we trust in you. Teach us the ways in which we should walk, for you to lift up our souls. And right here, right now, we're going to take a moment to lift up our weeds, to let the great gardener take them out, root and all. So in this moment, lift up your weeds to the Lord. And thank the Lord for choosing you, for equipping you for what he's called you to do, for producing good fruit in each one of your lives. I'm so grateful for this church community, Lord, this community of faith. It's been amazing to watch it operate over the summer for a service trip to happen, for a camp of 35 kids to run around these halls and learn about you and truly store your treasures deep in their hearts. Store your truth. Lord, I ask that you would remove anything that is blocking our paths to you. Let us grow as a church in faith, in community, in service, in leading with love. I see, when I was writing this prayer, Lord, I saw each one of us growing as sunflowers, turning our faces towards you, lifting our arms to release our fears and our anxiety, our pain, our purposelessness, our hard hearts to you, letting go of spirits of offense, instead having a spirit of love shooting forth into the world. I see us as these sunflowers reaching up to the heavens, for where that is where our help comes from. It comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Lord, I humbly ask that each one of us would leave this room changed today, that we would be made new, that we would be ready for the work that you have laid before us. Thank you, Lord, for including us in your kingdom building. In your name, amen.